What do we have here?
12.
Hey, it's the Steering Committee. We're back. We just recorded a really great episode with our pals Dan McInnes and John Nasser. John went into depth about his utterly fantastic Lancia Delta Integrale, but he's not the only one in the group who's got a new acquisition. Dan, who, let's just establish, has the Python Green 718 Spider, has the, what is the color of, is it Miami Blue? The
Riviera.
Riviera Blue. I almost said Taycan. Macan.
Paint a sample. There, which,
that's right. By the way, you drove up at a pretty nice Macan as well, John. But
it's fantastic until you pull up next to this guy. It's like he's got the most loaded Macan I think they've ever rolled out of the factory.
It's crazy. Yeah. PCCBs and everything.
Yeah, it's full on press car spec. It was 46,500 in options.
That is just nuts for a Macan.
I mean, I have a Launch Edition Turbo that's loaded up with the crazy rear interior and all that. And it looks like a base Macan next to his.
What's the power differential? Is it the difference?
It's I think baseline the turbo was 400.
Yeah.
So it's like 40 horse or something, but it's more torque because the turbo gets the bigger motor.
Interesting.
It's a 3.6.
Both beautiful cars. But you, Dan, added a fourth Porsche to your garage recently. Mm-hmm. You've also got this Targa. Is it an 84?
88.
So later than this one here.
Yes. Yeah. It's a G50 car. Okay. So the transmission, no whale tail.
No, you don't. Okay. Why do I think that car has a...
Well, you're probably thinking Eric's.
Okay. Whale tail. Yeah. All you Porsche people blend together.
I know. It's terrible. But no, the 88 is really nice. It's a lovely driving car.
And quick as can be, like shockingly quick. I don't know what I was expecting.
Dan's a good driver.
But, well, there's that too. Yeah. That's
it's fun to throw around. And I, you know, looping back on the steering feel discussion, if you want steering feel, a 3.2 Carrera is not a bad way to go because there is no power steering. and you become acutely aware of that when you get like halfway through a corner and really load the front end up as you're in the turn. And you're having to keep a fair amount of strength to keep the car going through the corner because it's got so much caster, it tries to straighten out no matter what you're doing. It's a really interesting experience.
When you jump out of his car and back to like a 964 993 that has power steering, those feel like they have electric steering.
Interesting.
This is why they sold so many, because everyone just commuted to LA in these little things.
There is nothing for sale currently that I can think of that has manual steering. The last car I can think of was the Lotus Elise. And maybe, or maybe there's a Gordon Murray car or something, a T33 or something that's coming with manual steering.
Do the Evora still have hydraulic steering? I know they just went out of production.
Pretty sure. And I think, doesn't the new one as well, doesn't the Amira also have?
The Amira does in six cylinder guys, but the four cylinder is electric.
Oh, well, there's another.
And they were saying that the hydraulics of the V6 car actually aren't perfect.
Yeah.
That you would expect it to be.
Yeah.
Well, and if you want the manual transmission, you're relegated to the... To six. I don't want to say relegated, but it's the six.
Oh, yeah. You're relegated.
Yeah.
Well, come on, that AMG GT engine's pretty sweet.
It is.
It's a weird... Well, that's the thing, is which one is relegated.
Which...
One has one smaller, less cylinders, but more power.
Yeah. Right?
See, this is where I normally send a YouTube video over to Dan.
Yeah.
There's a YouTube video of the AMG factory where they assemble that 2-liter I encourage everyone to watch, and you realize, that's like...
I'm pretty sure he's got that bookmarked.
So the 2 liters still get the signature. They're still real, you know, AMG.
Yeah, but I think, I suspect that Lotus hides that under that plastic cover and all that.
Yeah.
But the process and the quality, you feel like when you see what they do, it seems
like you're saying getting, that's the better engine over the Toyota.
Versus the Camry engine?
Yeah.
Having been in a V6 Amira, like, it's pretty great.
Is it pretty great?
It's pretty great.
I'm sure it's fine.
Well, speaking of four cylinders versus six... Whoa.
Oh, that's
what
okay.
happened, Esther? Oh,
that's okay.
We got a dog in the garage. Hey, Esther, she apparently...
We have a little live ambiance. She just got spooked a little bit.
As long as I didn't run into the GT4, my girl.
She's just chasing rats over there. No big deal. It's Denver.
That was the old house. Kidding. Anyway, so four-cylinder cars versus six-cylinder cars. You just picked up a car that to most people would look like a 911, but it's actually a 912. If you don't know, the 912 is the four-cylinder version.
Yeah.
Effectively, of the 911.
356 engine.
It is a 356 engine. This one specifically is a 1966 912. Mm. The original engine got blown up in it at some point, so it has an engine out of 1968 now. It was rebuilt down at Eisenbud's and to a 1720 cc from the 1583 that they were by default. Those cars were
Esther. God, Esther's stealing John's
Esther's
water
on fire tonight.
Yeah. She is. Yeah. But yeah, so the car has a little more oomph to it. What they did with that was, at the time that when they stopped production at 356, they went into 912 production. They used the Carmen factory for a bunch of that. So there's like in 66, there's all kinds of weirdness around those cars because it was so early on. And this holds true of the 911s as well. There's a lot of stuff that is very specific to 65, 66 as they were kind of figuring out how to build those cars.
And is one considered better than the next or?
No, it's just different. Yeah. And you can see the evolution of changes as they went from like the 65, 66, they made some changes into 67. There were additional changes into 68. And then 69 is when they went to the long wheelbase. But anyway, they took the 356 engine, they detuned it slightly because the last 356 engines were like 95 horsepower and 90 something, 98 torque. They detuned it very slightly so the car would run basically all day at the red line. because moving from the 356 into the 911 shape, the car was more aerodynamic, could actually go a little bit faster, was more fuel economy.
Yeah.
What would be the weight difference roughly? Do you know?
I don't know. I know that I'm pretty sure it's actually heavier. I think this one lists as a like 2,100 and change.
Okay. The 912 body would be heavier.
Yeah. The 912.
That's what I would assume. Yeah. So they detuned it though slightly though for reliability and engine efficiency type things.
Yep. Yeah. And they needed to do it. When they came out with the 911, they, you know, obviously new body shape, new engine, all that good stuff, but it was way more expensive than the 356. And so when they needed to make this change and they needed that, they were like, this is the new shape. People were getting used to it. By making that conversion into the 912, it became a much more palatable, easier thing for people to buy. It was $2,000 cheaper in 1965, 1966. I think it was actually $4,700 versus $6,500, so $1,800. But a considerable cost savings.
Sure.
Yeah. And as a result, for like 1966, Porsche sold like 12,000-ish cars. 9,000 of them were 912s.
Really?
3,000 were 911s.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And yet you hardly hear about the 912 anymore. You know, it's sort of like this footnote to many people.
It is footnote because they only made it from 66 to 69.
Yeah.
Early 65. Like my car was actually built in late 65. And also you fall into that European thing of like whenever they titled the car, that's the year of the car versus the US model, which model is based on like, the model determines the year essentially.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They did that from 66 to 69 and then it was replaced in 70 by the 914.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's an interesting little car.
Which would you rather have?
Well, I've driven a 914 and I've driven his 912.
Yeah.
And you need to drive that 912.
Yeah, yeah.
It's purity.
Yeah, right. Lighter. It's much.
What's it like compared to a 914, though?
I don't know. I haven't.
You haven't driven a 914.
You've never driven a 914.
Yeah. No.
Really?
No.
We need to change that.
And was the one you drove considered like a well-sorted one, a good example?
It was a decent example.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just didn't feel as special as the 911, 912 body.
Yeah.
I like the seating position better. Okay. It was just a sharper car for me.
One thing about the 914, it definitely looks like those seats do not adjust very much. It looks like they're pretty much fixed where they are.
No.
Yeah. So more adjustability on
it. It's been years since I've been in a 914. I just remember being very, very low. It felt like a go-kart.
It is very low.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Mr. Highly Optioned Macan, how many options does this 912 have? Mm.
It's got the 5-speed.
Okay.
And the...
Which...
Is that it?
It's got the 5-speed.
That's okay.
So the 5-speed, how did that... I mean... how different was that, or what was that in the whole scheme of things?
So that's the 901 gearbox.
Okay. That was in the
right. Okay. So the early Porsche gearboxes, and I don't remember the switchover year. I think it may have been like 71, 72, maybe 73. I don't know. But anyway, they went from the 901 gearbox to the 915 gearbox. Mm-hmm. And then in 1987 is when they went to the G50 gearbox. Mm-hmm. And the 901 is, it's fine. What's kind of interesting about it was they sold it in two guises. There was the four-speed and the five-speed versions of it. And the five-speed is actually a dogleg five. Hmm. So you got to go down and down to the left and back to get into first gear. Hmm. But it does actually, it changed the gears ratios around a little bit. It's pretty short gearing, much like the Delta. So you end up working through the gears. The car does not have much power. Mm-hmm. So you're wailing on it pretty much all the time. And that's just fun. It makes great noises. Sounds like an old Porsche.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it sounds like, looks like an old Porsche.
Well, non-enthusiast. It's a 911 as far as they know. And it's, like you said, there's something fun about being able to like really cane the car, really like, use the entire rev range, use it all the time and really, feel like you're really going all out in it, even though you're at these like sort of safe, moderate speeds.
And at altitude, you get to do that even more. Noise you hear is my dog whining or let's say talking in the background. I don't.
Does she want to go out?
I don't.
Is it Buck?
Keep talking. Blocking? I'm going to take care of it. Yeah.
Dan, okay. What's the size of these tires?
Special about that lawnmower over
there. So this car has, we've got 15-inch wheels on there. I haven't gone through and fully figured out everything that's with it. I've had it for 2 months. I've driven it a bunch, but it does have 185/70 15s on it. And as far as I can tell, pretty much all of the motion for the suspension is coming from the tires right now. At some point,
it's all sidewall suspension.
Pretty much. Yeah, yeah. So what's hilarious about this car is it has the full Terrett Engineering sway bar setup, both front and rear, which I need to dial back just a little bit. Cause like you can push on the car and the only reason it moves is because of the sidewalls, but it makes it hilarious. Cause you can just kind of chuck this thing around. And it does remarkably well.
So has the 912 had a bad rap?
No, I mean like they were generally later on that obviously that calculus changed from early. So obviously they had that 3-to-1 sales thing going on. But over time, as people got used to it, they were like, I want the more power. Mm-hmm. The other thing too is this is the pre-galvanized era. So these cars didn't necessarily hold up very well to rust. Mm-hmm. But people, they were still sports cars. They were generally taken care of. Mm-hmm. But in a lot of cases, a lot of 912s, they were like, we'll just go ahead and pull the four cylinder out of it and throw a six cylinder in, cause it's like, somebody wrecks a 911 and it's like, it's easy to get the cheaper shell and throw the bigger motor in.
Yeah. I was going to say, I feel like you see a fair number of 912 six cylinder, transplant cars, even on like Bring a Trailer, things like that.
It was a very popular option for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And what's a good 912 go for these days?
I am not the right guy to ask.
Well, what did the Irish Green one go for this past week?
The Irish green one, did that?
It was like 85, right?
Yeah, it was like 85.
They've been having over the last four,
60 to 80 money. For real clean ones.
Okay. Last 4 years, they've come up a lot.
They've come up a lot, but it's but at that point, you're also dealing with like, is it matching? Is it matching numbers? Yeah. What is the actual state of it? Mine drives really well. It's got a new engine in it. Newer engine in it that is built. So like the engine itself is actually worth a little bit of money as well.
You don't have any rust, right?
Yeah. And there's no rust on it. So that's another huge bonus. Yeah. It's the wrong color. It is currently a flat black that I kind of love.
Yeah.
No, it looks just kinda right.
It's kind of got like this cool sort of rat rod Porsche look to it, which is awesome.
Originally it was what though?
Yeah. It was Irish green.
Yeah. See, and that's a good color.
It is a good color. It's kind of like, I've got some ideas for this.
Yeah.
Car.
Okay.
We're going to get there. But anyway, I bought the car and I wasn't sure I was going to hold on to it. I was just kind of like, we'll try this out. I had an out with another friend who was willing to buy it immediately if I didn't like it. And I was like, we'll check it out. And within the course of about 2 weeks driving it, it's just very charming. It's very simple. There's nothing to it. And it's like, if I get out of that car and I get into the 88, the 88 feels like a completely modern car. Mm-hmm. You know, you get, because this thing doesn't weigh anything. You're having a whale on it to do anything. It's just, and it's tiny. That's another thing too, is looking at the car, those early years, like even comparing it against Matt's 912, because he's they've got a 69. Like this doesn't even have the fender flares that that car does.
Interesting.
Yeah. Like it's just, it's so,
so pure,
very, very simple and easy and there's nothing to it. And it's just, there's something about that, like you said, the purity of it, that's just kind of charming and engaging. But then at the other time, as I'm looking at this car and thinking about this car and I'm kind of going over it, I'm realizing, okay, well, the bushings need to be done on it. But as I'm looking at it, I'm thinking about, well, this jackass over here just went through and completely redid a Lancia Delta Integrale.
Yeah,
and I've got this way more simple car with way easier stuff available on it.
And he has a lift in his garage.
And I have a lift in my garage.
Plus you owe him one, right?
So, that's right. That's
this, right. Yeah. So you've got four Porsches in your garage right now. You've got this Macan GTS. You've got the 88 Targa.
Yep.
You've got the, what year is the 912 again?
66
912. And you've got, of course, your 7 million mile
entry level Boxster.
That's
Boxster. Related on that entry level thing, this is a thing I had never entirely put together. And I assume this is probably something they did on purpose. I mentioned the Karmann factory thing. So, 912, the early 912s, specifically 65, 66, they were built in two locations. And they were built in the Porsche factory. And Porsche factory was actually where the 911s were coming from. And they were built in the Karmann factory. Mm. Mine is a Karmann car. And the Karmann cars actually came with three gauges. The Porsche built ones actually came with five gauges.
Interesting.
Five gauges. Okay. Just like the 911s.
Yeah.
I ran into a guy when we were at Rennsport with a gray 912, 66, with a red interior. That actually had five gauges and a sunroof. And the sunroof cars, they only came from the Porsche factory.
Interesting.
So like super rare option. Apparently they asked crazy money for it because it was like if they had to build it, that meant they were taking away from a 911. So they ramped up the cost on it to make for it. So it was
so much and now you know and I don't have the damn button. Now you know.
But talking with that guy about it, like just kind of looking at things. Yeah. But again, three gauges. How many gauges does your car have?
Yeah, it's got three.
How many gauges? How many gauges do Macans have?
I think three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So all Boxsters, Caymans, and Macans all have three gauges. Yeah. Everything else has five.
Yeah, which you can't see those other two anyway in a modern 911. So there's that.
Yeah, I just thought it was a weird thing. I feel like it was something they did as a heritage reason.
Because was that the first car that. That they had this three gauge situation, and now they're just sort of like,
well, there was a two gauge 356, right?
Well, the two gauge 356. There was also a two gauge 901.
Yes,
901 prototype.
Now we're going deep.
We saw that at Rennsport.
Now
we didn't even get
the timing
into
of all this
stories.
Was really good because we go right after he gets this car, we're headed to Rennsport. So Rennsport has all these parking lots, right, with all the cars the same. Yeah. So this guy's camped out for days just getting to intimately know every 912 owner that exists.
Living the dream, man.
So, he's just absorbing information at a geometric rate these days.
Yeah, there was actually one of the great things. There was another gentleman there who had a 66 912 that was in immaculate condition. John
Polo red?
Polo red.
Yeah.
What is polo red versus, say, like a guard's red?
It's more akin to carmine red.
More of a deeper
not a
red.
Metallic
okay.
darker.
Yeah, it's a little darker. But his car, I chatted with him a bunch. We were comparing notes and he made the comment. He's like, you can always tell the 912 owners because they're the only people who come over and look at the 912s and like kind of go deep on it. Yeah. So he opened up the car for us and showed us a bunch of stuff around on it. And it was lovely. But he said, are you going to be here tomorrow? And I said, yes, I am. And he's like, well, I've got a book for you. So the next day I go back and he brings me this perfect condition, like workshop manual reprint type book, 912 that was done in, late 90s, early 2000, absolutely mint condition. And he's like, I have one of those. They don't make these anymore, but here you go. And I was like, well, what do I owe you? He's like, nothing.
Wow.
You have the car, just go ahead and use it in good health.
Good
so
man.
Nice.
And I also bought an engine manual from one of the vendors there. So between the engine manual and this thing, which some of the pictures you can tell they they've used a bunch of the official Porsche stuff to build this. But with the deep dive stuff on the engine and the deep dive stuff for the rest of the car, like basically between these two books, I can do just about anything I need to do. Throw YouTube on top of that, right, and I should be able to figure out a bunch of it.
So, there's an appeal to that, you know?
There I is.
I mean, it's just a badass-looking little car, too.
It is. It's super cool. I just need to, at this point, I opened it up. Well, I finally have it in the garage. I came out this morning, and it's like, I smell nothing but gasoline in here. So, yes. So I went ahead and started poking around at it, and I realized both carbs are actually leaking from the bottom. So that's something I need to figure out.
Oh, okay. Have you ever rebuilt a carb before?
Nope.
All right.
And you're not about to start, are you?
No. I think in this particular case, since it just got rebuilt by this other shop, I'm going to go ahead and bring it over there. Because the other thing is, I actually need to get the seal... one of the seals redone on the front end of the transmission, because that's actually leaking into the tunnel area. But I did go ahead. I threw a new Momo wheel on it. Nice. I threw a J-West engine.
Was this also from the Mako collection?
Mako let me try out multiple wheels so I could figure out the sizing.
I love that. Most people don't have that opportunity. I mean, that's the best.
Yeah. So it was just like, I throw a wheel in for a couple of days and then like,
this should be a new side hustle for Mako, just to let people come over and try out sizing.
And when you interview him, ask him about his horn button. Caddy of
shut up. All right, Mako, why haven't we had you on?
Secret compartments of stored parts is awesome.
All right. So, this is our bonus episode, I think. You guys are fantastic. I know that I want to launch a Delta Integrale and I want a Porsche 912. I don't know about you, Doug, but
yes, please.
We're getting on some auction sites here soon. So if you haven't already, go back and listen to the first episode with these two gents. Again, this is sort of a bonus episode. I'm not sure quite what we'll do for Thanksgiving, if we'll release this, if we'll create something new, if we'll put out a greatest hits
track, we'll all get fat and eat pie.
That's
if you want to see the pictures that we took of these 912s at Rinsport, just go to rocketjohn.com. That'll take you to the Smug Mug Gallery. Go into shows and you'll see Rinsport, and you can see all the things that Dan was talking about.
I love it. Yeah. Well, you guys are the best. Thank you so very much for coming to the steering committee tonight. Doug, anything else to...
No.
We have to do a lot more driving, guys.
We do. Yeah. This was fun, gentlemen. We'll hang out. We'll have another beer, another Brews Beers. That's right. But until next time, we're the steering committee. Thanks, guys.